What's up, baby? It's Bretzky, and I'm here to tell you that SpinQuest.com is giving out free sweeps coins. All you gotta do is purchase a $10 coin pack, and guess what? They're gonna give you the coins from a $30 coin pack. That lets you play all your favorite games like Blackjack, Wanted, Dead or Wild, and we're talking real cash prizes, baby. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Monday morning. And as we do every Monday morning at 8 o'clock, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend Corey Curtis from News 2. Corey, good morning. How are you?
You know, all I can just say is your day just got much better, and I do what I can.
It did. It did. Every Monday morning at 8 o'clock, for some reason, my day just sparkles. It gets better immediately. I haven't been able to figure out why yet.
It's like a Shea Weber slap shot just coming at you.
It did. Yes, it is. No question. So, Corey, obviously just a rough weekend here in our state with the tornadoes that passed through, and then yesterday the announcement of the passing of Frank Wycheck at the age of 52. When you think about Frank Wycheck and your dealings with him over the years, what comes to mind?
He's a pro. I mean, you know, he's a professional football player, professional how he handled himself. You know, guy who helped, you know, kind of reinvent the tight end position a little bit. But a guy who loved this city, loved this organization, loved being a part of it, loved being a part of the community. And then, you know, obviously he had his struggles with the concussion issue and the aftermath of it. But, you know, as I talked with several of his former teammates yesterday, you know, the overwhelming thing is the guy was a giant. You know, he was a giant in this organization and a giant in this community. And there's just that this doesn't take that away. It just kind of reinforces it.
Yeah, and then what about even post-career, post-playing career, Corey? I mean, obviously, Frank was such a, you know, you see, you know, former players, professional franchise in a particular city, you know, then get into media, have success. But it just seemed like Frank was such a central part of that scene for so long.
Yeah. Well, he was the first one, too. I mean, he was the first former player to really kind of emerge himself, and it was the first real opportunity. Now, that group of players, and I was here for that group of players, they connected with the community. And the Titans have good players now who do a lot in the community, but it was different. I mean, these guys were at every golf tournament. They were everywhere at everything, and they connected with people all over the place. I think as they moved to a new city, they knew that was part of the job. And so fans really got to get up close and personal with a lot of these guys on a semi-regular basis. So they were already connected. But then when he sits on the radio every morning, you know, with Mark Howard and Kevin Ingram, you know, and tells it like it is largely, you know, it was the fans' first chance to connect with that. And Frank had a good personality, you know, obviously as well, and naturally progressed into the booth with Mike Keith, you know, for years. And so it was more of, you know, an opportunity to truly connect with one of these guys and make him one of your own. You know, because you know when you're on the radio or you're on TV, you know, people are connected to you and, you know, they talk to you like they know you. And, you know, sometimes it creates awkward situations because you're like, I don't know you. But they know you because they're with you every day. And Frank was with them every day. It wasn't a weekly appearance. It was every morning. I mean, I know that show was a huge show, and Frank Wycheck was a huge part of it.
Yeah, no question about it. And then on the field, Corey, I mean, you know, the Music City Miracle, obviously one of the iconic plays in the history of the National Football League. But even beyond that, I mean, you're talking 505 receptions, 5,126 yards, 28 touchdowns for Frank Wycheck. And as he liked to remind people, a perfect passer rating to go along with that as well. But a heck of a tight end on the field for the Titans that was – I mean, look, if you watch the Titans play back in the day, you know that he was Steve McNair's favorite target by far.
Well, I mean, he was his security blanket. You know, when he needed a completion, you know, that's certainly where he was – where he was going to go for most of the time. And so, and that was, you know, at a time where the tight end position was transitioning. And also remember, you know, we talk about the numbers, 500 to 5,000. That was in an offense that was run driven.
Yeah.
I mean, really run driven. And, you know, he's another player that played here in Nashville and that if he plays in Pittsburgh or Dallas or Green Bay, I'm not saying he's a Hall of Famer. Okay, but his name carries a lot more reverence throughout the rest of the league if he plays in one of those spots, I think, without question.
Corey, what are we going to see tonight in Miami?
Well, we're going to see the fastest team in the NFL, averaging 6.9 yards per play. Is that correct?
I believe that is correct.
So, they're going to get X plays. We haven't seen anything from the Titans that says that they're not going to get X plays. So, we're going to see if Derrick Henry can rush for 200 yards, because that, to me, is their only chance to keep this thing relatively close, is to keep the offense on the field and keep the Dolphins on the sideline. Defensively, when I look at this Dolphins team, and by the way, they run the ball really well. I mean, nobody talks about that. Mostert and A-Chain are really good, and they're really fast as well. And so they run the ball really well. But defensively, you can't defend all those guys. The guy you can defend is Tua. And if you can take Tua out, you can take out some of those guys. So I think that's their best choice. It's the riskiest choice, but I think it could yield the most results if they can get in his face and take him off of his game. That's the best way, because I don't think you're not going to be able to run with those guys on the outside. That's a nightmare.
Well, and you don't have Christian Fulton or Jeffrey Simmons in this game. I mean, on paper, Corey, this looks like this could be just an absolute annihilation for the Dolphins tonight. And I know it's the NFL, and you know it's not like it's Chattanooga taking on Alabama in this game tonight, but this does feel like all the makings of a blowout. And it very rarely do you feel that way heading into an NFL game, especially an NFL game that has involved Mike Vrabel over the years.
Well, it's a league that's driven by matchups, right? And, you know, you look at, you know, certain games and you just say, yeah, this isn't a particularly good matchup for the Titans because of their speed and their big play capability on the outside. So I agree. It's a scary game. But as we saw this weekend, you never know what's going to happen in this league. I mean, if you saw some of the outcomes coming this weekend that happened, then you're a better person than me. I did not predict 3-0 between Minnesota and the Raiders.
No.
No, for sure. I mean, it is that kind of week. I suppose every NFL weekend there's at least one or two where you're at least somewhat surprised.
Really,
but
weird, though.
This was a really weird one. You know, one thing that happened, which I'm not that surprised by, because the Lions are paper Lions, but but your Bears, I gotta say, this relates to the Titans, because the Titans are up to 6 on the draft order.
Yeah, they are.
And I'm wondering, like, are the Bears, is it possible the Bears not only stick with Justin Fields but with Matt Eberflus if they go on like a tear at the end of the year?
On a heater? Yeah, it's funny. Every time the Bears win a game, my Bears friend's like, do you think we can win out? I'm just like, stop it. Stop it. Let's just win one more, okay? Let's just win one more. They've been a pretty bad football team under Matt Eberflus. I'd have to know something about him that I don't know to say next year we're going to move on with him. And the question about Justin Fields isn't a question about Justin Fields to me. It's a question about Caleb Williams. If you think Caleb Williams is Peyton Manning, Andrew Luck, you know, Tom Brady, Joe Montana, if you think he's one of those guys, it doesn't matter what Justin Fields is. You have to take the generational quarterback. That's what this comes down to. You know, like everybody sees Fields has talent. You know, can he harness that and, you know, turn it into, you know, elite NFL quarterback play with better play around him, obviously. That's kind of what remains to be seen. But again, if you think Caleb Williams is the bee's knees, all right, you know, because like when Andrew Luck was drafted, there was number one. There was no question. I feel it's largely the same about Caleb Williams. And if you feel like he's that, then it doesn't really matter what you think of Justin Fields. You've got to take that guy.
Corey, last thing for you here. Who's the best team in the AFC? Dolphins are 9-3. They haven't beaten anybody except for Denver that's above 500. Kansas City is 8-5. They've lost two in a row. Buffalo 7-6. You know, the Jags just lost to the Joe Flacco led Browns. Who's the best team in the AFC in your mind?
By the way, they also lost to the Jake Ferguson Bengals. They just beat the Indianapolis Colts as well. The Dolphins are interesting because, like you said, they haven't beaten anybody. And, you know, they're scary. They're super scary, but they haven't beaten anybody. And so that just, you know, it leaves you with your hands kind of up in the air, you know, right now as to, you know, which way this thing goes. And so I don't have a great answer for you. You didn't mention it in the Baltimore Ravens.
I guess it's Baltimore.
So. Yeah.
They needed to walk-off punt to beat the Rams yesterday. But, yeah.
Yeah, but the Rams are a pretty good football team.
Rams aren't bad.
The Rams are one of the surprising teams in the league. I think Sean McVay's done a hell of a job there this season. They play incredibly hard. They've discovered new weapons in Kyren Williams and what's his name? Puka Nacua. On the outside. Yeah. I mean, so he's really done a heck of a job there. I guess if I had to wager right now, I would be more willing to trust the Ravens than I would the Dolphins at this point. I've told you guys all season that the Chiefs' weapons weren't good enough, okay? And they have proved it over and over and over again. Their weapons are not good enough, all right? Buffalo is still capable, okay? Buffalo is still capable. And not just because they beat the Chiefs, but because of what they got on their team. And so that remains to kind of be seen. But if I had to pick somebody right now, I'd have to go with Baltimore because of defense, the quarterback, and their coaching is always really spot on.
Well, Corey, really appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. Appreciate your perspective on Frank Wycheck as well, and we'll talk to you next week.
Yep. All right, yeah. I mean, this is the third former or fourth now, Rob Baronis and Josh Evans, that we've had to say goodbye to too early. So those are tough days. And I understand if there's a lot of people hurting right now because, like we talked about, he connected with a lot of people. On a lighter note, if you want to order your 2024 Super Bowl champion Chicago Bears shirts, I'll be printing them up at the screenshot
good
later today.
That's good. Make sure you tweet that out. We'll get people directed your way. That'd be good. Thank you, Corey.
All right, later, guys.
All right, Corey Curtis from News 2, our guest here on Robbie and Rex. So we'll take your reaction to what Corey had to say, your thoughts on the passing of Frank Wycheck, your favorite Frank Wycheck memory, your thoughts on Titans-Dolphins on Monday Night Football tonight, all that coming up. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. We are live from our 102.5, the game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by Chuck McDowell and Medical House Calls, Middle Tennessee's best medical care in the comfort and safety of your own home. For more information, go to medicalhousecalls.com. Medical House Calls, where the nearest clinic is your home. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keys are here with you on this Monday morning. Chase and Big Joe down in Miami. They'll be with us at 8:45. They will be covering the Dolphins-Titans game tonight, doing their show from Miami this morning. So a little bit warmer, I would presume, Joe, down in Miami than it is here today when I woke up and it was 25 degrees.
So they've been down there for several days. Is that correct?
I believe they went Friday night. I believe that's when it happened.
Pre-game preparations, like, you
know, pre-show
really
meeting.
Making sure. Yeah, a lot of pre-show meetings, really digging in on this matchup. Huge game.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like covering the Super Bowl. Yeah. Very interesting. I look forward to hearing so what are their preparations and the work they've been doing down there.
I do too. Looking forward to that coming up at 8:45. The 4-8 Titans with a massive one tonight as they take on the Miami Dolphins. We'll take your thoughts on that. 615-737-1025. We've been taking your thoughts on Frank Wycheck all show long, passing at the age of 52. That news coming out over the weekend. I got a text on the text line from an unnamed texter. It says, Frank never big-timed anyone. My daughter and your own Nick Fraser went to school with his daughters, and he talked to you like he'd known you forever. He also had a Joe Rexroad Ski Atika moment where he mispronounced Molotov cocktail and instead called it a Mazeltov cocktail. Mark and Kevin could just never let that go. That's pretty awesome. Appreciate that memory there. That's good stuff. A Mazeltov cocktail.
That is combining Mazel Tov and a Molotov cocktail. That is a very much a ski and take a moment. Also, I know, wasn't it? So this was, when we had Mark on, it was like a Kaharski. Was it Kaharski Wycheck? Like Kaharski said he could outwalk, or was it Howard? It was one or the other, but it was like, even though, Wycheck was like a, obviously, an NFL great athlete. Right. Like mall walking, I will kick your butt. We'll have to get the story from PK this week. But that was pretty awesome too.
Well, it was awesome. And then of course, we play the Hurricane theme every week when PK comes on with us, and that was a Frank Wycheck's decision there. He loved the Hurricane theme song, and that was his decision to bring that up when PK comes on the radio, which lives on today here on our program.
Indeed it does. Yeah, it was, another thing that just comes to mind about listening to those guys is there were times, and I don't know if others could agree with me on this, but there were Mark Howard and Frank Wycheck actually both kind of sounded alike. Did you agree?
A little bit,
yeah. Did you think so too?
A little bit.
There were times when one of them would say something and I wasn't sure which one. Well, now, if you talk for a bit, then you'll get the difference, but they both sort of had, I don't even know how to describe the voice, but it like there was a similarity there, which also made it, you had to be on your toes.
You did. And, I mean, it was fun over the summer to get Kevin Ingram in here too, because he talked about, some of those days with Mark and Frank and just what was going on there and just the banter that those guys had. And obviously we've had Mark on the show before as well. And to think about two of the three of those guys being gone is kind of surreal. I mean, it's a tough weekend. And like Corey said, I mean, you think back to those Titans days, Josh Evans, Rob Baronis, Steve McNair, Frank Wycheck, players gone well before their time. And it's kind of, as a kid growing up here at that time, I was seven the first season the Titans were here in 1999 when they were the Tennessee Titans. And to think about like that group of players, I think Corey's absolutely right. And it was a different time, obviously, and social media wasn't around, and so you had to be like really intentional with getting out of the community and putting yourself out there. And the Predators did that too when they came here, but it was just kind of a different time back then. And I do think this city connected to that group in a way that was pretty special. And obviously, look, the on-field success had a lot to do with that too. When you show up and you open up your new stadium, and the first year you go to the Super Bowl, like that's a pretty special thing. So the combination of the on-the-field success and how visible those guys were in the community, I don't know that we'll ever see anything quite like that again here in the city. It's just kind of a unique time.
Yeah. I mean, it was a confluence of things that made it a really special time. I mean, I remember from the – living somewhere else, but watching from a far perspective, that 99 season. Well, first of all, just remember Wycheck was a great player.
Yeah.
And I think Corey's right that, he, in a different market, maybe he more is made of him around the league. But what I remember like from 99 in particular was like they didn't lose in that stadium. And it was like, holy crap, SEC college football crowds have come to the NFL. This is the best atmosphere. It was kind of like what Seattle a few years ago was, right?
Yeah.
That's what people were talking about around the league. Like, this is a different level of, intensity and sort of like a college football feel in a place where it's always just been college football and not the NFL. And, So that was that. They were one. That was one of those teams. I certainly rooted for them. I mean, I rooted for them just as a general NFL fan, especially that year. Certainly in the Super Bowl, but even just all along the whole run, like they were, I think, a very easy team to root for a fan who didn't have a dog in the fight, you know,
yeah.
Because it was this new area and there were just a lot of likable guys.
Yeah, then there's the, you know, everybody's talking about the Music City Miracle today, and obviously Frank had a gigantic role in that play. And we talked about, you know, the lateral and the debate of the Bills fans, some of which still to this day don't believe it was a lateral, even though it's been scientifically proven that it was at this point. But this 5-year stretch from Wycheck from 97 all the way to 2001, you had – in 97, 63 catches, 748, 70 for 768 the next year, 69 for 641 in 99, and then 70 for 636 in 2000, 60 for 672 in 01. I mean, that's a pretty consistent stretch of, number one, playing in every single game throughout that stretch and being consistently productive in an offense, as Corey pointed out in the last segment, where, I mean, it was a different offense. I mean, they ran the ball all the time. Eddie George had a ton of carries, and it was a running football team. But to be as consistent as he was at that position at that time in that era was pretty special from Frank Wycheck.
Yeah, like if you're, I guess, of a certain age and you're hearing those numbers and they don't blow you away, like you got to remember, passing numbers, you know, were not nearly what they are now in the NFL. And, of course, back then I just mentioned the St. Louis you know, I just mentioned the St. Louis Rams in that Super Bowl. Now, that team with that offense, Mike Martz's offense, was, you know, that was one of those with all they had. Like, they were putting up ridiculous numbers. But, yeah, I mean, you know, McNair during those years is getting, you know, 2,200, 2,800 yards. You know, he had a couple low 3,000 yards seasons. I mean, his MVP season of 03, you know, 3,200 yards. So, like, those numbers for a tight end, that's a big chunk of the passing offense. Today, that's a tight end who has 1,300 yards.
Right. 615-737-1025, our phone number. More of your thoughts on the passing of Frank Wycheck. We'll look ahead to the Titans and Dolphins coming up on Monday Night Football tonight. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. The Titans and the Dolphins coming up on Monday Night Football tonight. Taking your thoughts on that, 615-737-1025. Let's go to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in Cam. Cam, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning, guys. So if tonight just is just a beatdown, there's no way that somebody's head's not going to roll for this. I had a come-to-Jesus thing over the weekend where I realized that when I debate with my friends now, it's no longer about how good the Titans are or y'all got to watch out for Derek or this, that, and the other. It has literally become the whole conversation is, ha-ha, your team let the Titans score on you, and we're terrible in the red zone. So, shows you where your team's at, buddy.
Yep.
And I just – it's wildly uncomfortable, man. And I think tonight is going to be a beatdown. Thanks, guys.
Yep, thanks for the call, Cam. I mean, the line remained at 13.5 over the weekend, Joe. So a 13.5-point favorite. The Dolphins are heading into this game tonight. And as we talked about with Corey Curtis earlier this hour, it is a matchup business in the NFL. And without Christian Fulton and Jeffrey Simmons, especially on the defensive side of the ball for the Titans, it's hard to imagine this matchup going particularly well for the Titans on that side of the ball when you've got Jaylen Waddle and Tyreek Hill and the way that that Miami offense has looked all year long. So we'll see if they can find a way to slow them down. I mean, it is going to have to be the pass rush, right? I mean, it's going to have to be Danico Autry and Arden Key and Harold Landry finding a way to get in the backfield and disrupting Tua. If you can't do that, I mean, you're not going to have a shot in this game.
Right, exactly. It's got to be the pass rush. It's got to be and the running of the football. I mean, those two things you might be able to do, although 98 not being in there makes the first thing a lot tougher. But I think, you know, the second part of that certainly is possible, and it's time consuming drives that end in touchdowns would be helpful. As far as the heads rolling thing, I mean, I don't I mean, I don't think that there's going to be any more in-season firings. I didn't think there'd be. Yeah, I mean, like the equivalent of like the Aukerman, like his unit and what happened against the Colts. What would be the equivalent of that with like it'd be like the Titans on defense consistently putting 13 players out there or 9 players out there, just like not covering Tyreek Hill at all.
Not covering Tyreek Hill for 6 consecutive plays for a touchdown.
Yeah. I mean, like it's, and then getting someone hurt somehow. Like it's just, that was an extreme situation. But, you know, as far as I understand what he's saying about the way this team is perceived. I mean, that's the reality of this team and this stretch of football. It's one of the worst teams in the NFL. I do want to throw out real quick, Robbie Cathy, just on the text line driven by WilsonGuyHoney.com, said it was Mark Howard who told Frank Wycheck that he would, quote, walk you into the ground.
That's right. Yes.
at the mall. Oh, that is beautiful. Yeah, but we'll have to get PK reminiscing on that one Wednesday.
Yeah, no question about that. I remember that story now that Cathy brings that up. Walking you into the ground. I like that. That's good stuff. On the offensive side for the Titans tonight, I mean, it's going to be about Levis. And you look at this Dolphins pass rush, they've been effective all year. That's not good news for a Titans offensive line that is not very good and has been particularly bad, Joe, on the road. I mean, on the road, they've been a very poor unit offensively as a whole, but the offensive line has struggled. And then, you know, Jalen Ramsey coming back midseason for the Dolphins, he's made a big, big difference in terms of what they're able to do from a coverage standpoint, has made some big plays defensively for them as well. So, you know, while the Dolphins have given up some points this year, this is a little bit of a different group with Jalen Ramsey now in the fold. And if you're the Titans, like you've struggled so much to generate offense on the road really against anybody, and now you're taking on a team in Miami that if things go the way we think they're going to go offensively for the Dolphins tonight, they could make the Titans one-dimensional pretty quickly in this game, which is not a recipe for success.
No, and that's the thing. I mean, the Dolphins are – I mean, look, on paper – they have the goods, and they are right now. They're like 56% based on the schedule, and this is Austin Mock who does these models for us at The Athletic. But 56%, the favorite to get the one seed. They're a fascinating team. They need to beat someone good at some point and play well in a game like that. But those corners, I mean, that's a really nice thing to have to go with everything else. And David Long Jr. running around making plays, staying healthy. I'm sure he and Henry will have some encounters. Derrick Henry was talking about that last week. And what you want if you're the Titans is you want to bring it back old school to when Jalen Ramsey was with the Jaguars and he very much hated trying to tackle Derrick Henry.
Yes.
You know, you need to get him in some situations like that. But the Titans getting open downfield, I'll tell you what. I guess I'll assume it's going to be the same thing. But, like, I look at this matchup, and I know I'm going to get ratioed for this. So I
know where you're going.
He's my new NWI. But, like, I feel like Kyle Phillips could help you in a game like this just to move the chains. He and Levis had a pretty good chemistry. Think about what he was doing in the Pittsburgh game. So I don't know everything that's gone on there. But, man, it seems like a guy like that could help you. Now, go ahead, text line. Trash me for – you know, for loving Kyle Phillips. I'm not saying he's a superstar.
Rex wrote his Kyle Phillips jersey ready. Need it here by tomorrow.
I mean, it's like tell me who's out there getting open against those guys tonight. Yeah. You know, I mean,
it's a great question. Like
DeAndre Hopkins can make some play, but I feel like he could do something for you. And I know that some of the decision was sort of a domino effect with special teams, but we'll see. Maybe he'll be reactivated tonight, just as Tyson Berry was for the Preds last
night. He was. He played in both games over the weekend. How about that? Are we going to see a David Long Jr. revenge tour game tonight? He's been doing one-arm push-ups all week, Joe. We think this is a big one for David Long Jr. tonight?
You know, if you're David Long Jr., you're excited about this, and he obviously was not happy with Mike Vrabel calling him a repeat offender, and Mike Vrabel sort of addressed it this week, and I guess kind of admitted, I don't know that he was sorry, but he was trying to explain why he said it, right?
Yes, but I don't know if sorry is the right word, but yes.
Yeah, it was kind of like, I mean, he was just like, oh, he had the same injury. But I'll tell you what, Yeah, I'm sure David Long Jr. is jacked up for this game, but if I'm him, I'm like, I still would rather not see a ton of 22, yeah. me and him in the hole. You know? It's like, you should be excited for the game, maybe come on a blitz and get the quarterback, get in coverage, you know, give Chig some problems, but like, you still are hoping you got some friends with you when 22's coming downhill.
It was a weird day, though, yesterday in the NFL. I mean, Joe Flacco taking down the mighty Jacksonville Jaguars and Trevor Lawrence, which, by the way, on that front, like the fact that Trevor Lawrence is playing in that game after the way his ankle bent the other day is kind of amazing to me, and they called it a high ankle sprain, and that gets us back down this rabbit hole of what exactly is a high ankle sprain. But, yeah. You know, he threw.
It's not a high ankle sprain.
I mean, 31-27, Joe Flacco getting it done yesterday, Rex Road. There was a stretch in that game where interceptions kept being thrown on both sides, and like Amari Cooper just dropped the ball, fumbling the ball. It was a weird game yesterday.
Yeah, it was. But the Browns are a lead on D, and Flacco, man, 3-11-3.
Yeah, man,
it's wild.
He didn't have a job earlier this year.
No, and I mean, I wouldn't have expected him to have a job. It's really something to see. Some of these between like the quarterbacks who take forever and all of a sudden they're really good, like your guy, Jordan Love. Or, like, look at, like, Jake Browning sitting on the shelf, and he gets an opportunity, and it's like he has the best three starts ever for a quarterback in NFL history.
Yeah.
And then people sitting on the shelf. I mean, I guess overall, it's like quarterback play is just, like, there's just a lot more good, at least in spurts, than you'd expect. And then, meanwhile, you go to the other side of this, Vikings 3, Raiders nothing, and Josh Dobbs gets benched. And, you know, I had a little interaction with Easton Freeze on Twitter because he was like, I don't have it in front of me. It was like all the Titans fans who were complaining, you know, saying Josh Dobbs should be the Titans starter, you know, that was dumb. And I went to him, I'm like, how many people actually thought that? You know, and I don't know, I'll ask you, Robbie, how many Titans fans were actually like, because look, Josh Dobbs has been a great story, but this is what he is. He's a good backup in the NFL, which is not a bad thing to be, but that's what he is. So how many Titans fans were actually with the height of his run this year thinking, God, he should be the Titans starting quarterback?
I think it's more than you're thinking it is.
Yeah? Yeah. Is it?
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
All right. Where am I muting?
I just think it's more than you think it is. Hello, right. Chase McCabe.
Oh, I was going to say, is Keezer, that sounded like Nick Saban. Is Keezer playing a Saban joke thing, or that's just Chase babbling in the background?
It's just Chase babbling in the background. We'll get to him coming up here in just a few minutes. But the point is, a weird day in the NFL yesterday. I mean, the Bears take down the Lions. Colts get smacked by Jake Browning and the Bengals. We already talked about the Browns-Jags game. Zach Wilson looks like an actual competent NFL quarterback yesterday, and they destroyed the Texans 30-6. So it's been a strange weekend. Maybe that continues tonight, and the Titans can hang in there with Miami.
Yeah, and you know, Bryce Young and the Panthers looked horrific again, by the way, so don't get me wrong here. But I just want to point out, before he got hurt, C.J. Stroud, 10 for 23, 91 yards, a rating of 54.8. Let's not carve out a spot in Canton for him yet. He's been very good. He's going to win Rookie of the Year. But, like, it's early, guys. It's early. And your guy, Davis Mills, extended himself for a nice 1 for 5 for 4 yards. You know, the Jets really are an incredibly – like, that might be the best defense in the NFL, and they're not going to be in the postseason,
yeah,
which is sad.
Bryce Young yesterday, 13 of 36, 137 yards, quarterback rating of 48.
Well, CJ, you beat him out, CJ.
Well, we talked about it. Like, a lot of it's not on him, and it's not, but there were – I did see a couple throws yesterday that were just atrocious that he missed, and I'm like, oh, boy. It's getting to
him. I mean, we've had that debate, like, oh, you don't want to ruin Will Levis, right? Can you ruin a quarterback? And to me, it's like, if you got the goods, it'll come out eventually. But man, Bryce Young could have used a redshirt year, or at least not, or at least the idea of, gee, maybe we should give him a receiver or something before we play him. So I hope he doesn't get ruined by this.
By the way, the Broncos 24-7, they win yesterday against the Chargers. Don't look now. Denver's 7-6, man. Chiefs are 8-5 after their loss to Buffalo. Sean Payton got those Broncos coached up. Russell Wilson looks good. Almost called him Russell Westbrook.
Kind of a similar thing. Couldn't complete a pass, couldn't hit a shot. But, yeah, he looks good. It's an amazing comeback for them. Six teams in the AFC have a 7-6 record. Between the 6 and 12, from the Steelers, Colts, Texans, Broncos, Bengals, Bills, and Chargers.
It's wild.
Or wait, no, Bills, 6. I just listed 7 teams, not the Chargers.
Chargers
6 to 11, that is 6 teams. Steelers, Colts, Texans, Broncos, Bengals, Bills. And I tell you what, the Broncos, that's wild. That's a race. I'm watching the Bills yesterday. I still think they could get to the Super Bowl. I do. They may not get to the playoffs, but I still think they could get to the Super Bowl.
Let's just have somebody else other than the head coach doing the motivational tactics while they get there.
Yeah, my goodness. Yeah, and that was in 2019. And look, to be fair to him, he apologized shortly after that. So that was one of those stories that, you know, was dormant until Tyler Dunn found it for this big story he did. Just sad to see all these Bills slappies going after him like it was just an attack piece. I mean, he had a ton of people in this story who spoke on behalf of Sean McDermott. It's a fair thing to ask the question of his leadership and what he's doing. And then there were some people quoted in there who don't think much of him, but he wrote a balanced story.
Joe, that's going to do it for you today. We'll see you back tomorrow at 6 a.m.
Yeah, I got to get some blood withdrawn. I want you to make sure you ask Harold and Kumar if they found a White Castle in Miami.
I will.
I'll be listening. Thanks.
I will do that. Chase and Big Joe coming up live from Miami next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Nick Keyser here with you live from our 102.5, The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Chase McCabe, Big Joe Dubin, somewhere where it looks much warmer than it is where it was here when it was 25 degrees when I woke up this morning. That was fun. Chase, Big Joe, good morning. How are you? What's the weather like down there in Miami?
Oh, good morning, Robbie. Thank you so much for having us. It's sunny. It's a little, I mean, I'm not going to say chilly because I'm going to sound like a jerk when you're talking about 25 degree weather, but it's like 62, 63.
Oh, boy.
We're on the ninth floor here at the Lowe's Coral Gables. We're by the pool. So it's very nice.
Sounds tough down there.
I hope, in all seriousness, it is. But in all seriousness, I hope everybody is doing well back in Nashville. Obviously, we've been thinking about everybody and praying, the Hendersonville, Gallatin area, Clarksville that got hit the other night. And so I know you got family in Hendersonville. Hope they're all well.
Yep.
But certainly thoughts and prayers back home.
Yep, no question about that. And obviously, in addition to that, guys, Frank Wycheck passing away over the weekend at the age of 52. And Big Joe, I know you've spent a lot of time around Frank Wycheck. When you think about him as a Titan and the legacy that he leaves behind, what comes to mind when you think about Frank Wycheck and his career, both playing career and his post-career in the media here in Nashville as well?
Funny, Robbie, is that we, Chase and I, a few weeks ago, were talking about Hall of Fame because Eddie George made the final 25.
I think we may have lost Big Joe there for a second. We'll try to get Big Joe back in there. But Chase, just the Frank
Wycheck. Got him?
Is he back?
He should be.
I think he's muted. We do not have him. But we do have Chase.
Hang on. Well, I'm here. Oh, I see what happened.
Live radio.
Right, you should have him now.
There we go.
Am I back?
He's back.
I'm back. Okay.
Welcome back.
Thank you. I said a while ago, Chase and I had a discussion about Frank Wycheck. I thought he should be at least nominated for the Hall of Fame for what he did in the tight end position back in the late 90s, early 2000s. Now, it's been more people have added catches and touchdowns, all that. But when Frank was there, from the Oilers / Titans from 95 to 03. I mean, he was just fantastic. And then we all knew Frank very well off the field, and it's devastating. I mean, it's talking to some of his ex-teammates, and they're just grief-stricken over this. So he's got a great memory for us, remembering what he did when the team moved here and the way he played and all that, and the Music City Miracle and everything that goes on with it. But it'll be it's a tough loss, Robbie.
Yeah, no question about that. So Monday Night Football tonight for the Titans and the Dolphins. Chase, tell us what your day is going to look like here as you guys prepare to cover the game tonight for Miami.
Yeah, we're excited about it. And to be here, like I said, at the Lowe's Coral Gables for having us, that's kind of our setup, for the day. We'll head over to Hard Rock Stadium probably around 4 o'clock. You know, it's an 8 o'clock Eastern kickoff thereabouts. So, but we want to get there early and kind of check things out and watch the guys go through warmups. I am very excited to see Tyreek Hill live and in person tonight. I saw him when he was with the Chiefs in the AFC Championship game, but I feel like he's gone to another level since then. So that's going to be certainly interesting. But our day is doing the show and then just kind of a little, you know, low-key time getting ready for the game tonight. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Excited to be here.
Yeah, excited to have you guys there. Looking forward to the coverage coming up all day long and interested to see if the Titans can hang in there. You don't see a 13.5 point line in the NFL too often, but that's what that Miami offense has done to people so far this year. So going to be interested to see what
Robbie,
that looks like.
The sports page of the Miami Herald, the main story is about David Long Jr.
Oh boy.
Basically going out for revenge tonight against the Titans. I mean, a huge article, and the players talk about how well he's fit in with his defense, how he's put the defense to another level, and it's personal tonight for David Long Jr.
And, you know, I would imagine some meetings between him and Derrick Henry in the middle of the field tonight. We'll see what that looks like. But, you know, the repeat offender comments from Vrabel last year on David Long Jr. Maybe some one-arm push-ups that David Long Jr. has done all this week preparing for his revenge tour game against the Titans. Going to be interesting to see.
Maybe giving David Long Jr. the football at the one-yard line to score and just kind of rub it in Vrabel's face tonight. Ooh.
That could happen. We'll see what happens. Well, guys, looking forward to the coverage, looking forward to the show coming up here in just a few minutes, and thanks for being on with me to close out the show today.
Yeah, where'd Joe go? Get some blood drawn?
Blood drawn, you know. We'll see.
I hope he's okay.
I hope he is, too. We'll see what happens on that front. That's going to do it for us today here on Robbie and Rex Road. Really appreciate everybody weighing in throughout the show. A lot of memories of Frank Wycheck. As we talked about to begin the show today, thoughts and prayers with everybody affected by the tornadoes over the weekend through Hendersonville and Clarksville and Madison, Springfield, that area where the tornadoes went through this weekend. As we talked about, as more information becomes available on how you can help, we'll certainly pass that along here on Robbie and Rex Road. If you're in the Hendersonville area and you need somewhere to go today, check out Long Hollow Church. They're going to be open all day long for your chance to charge some things up. I know power has been an issue over there as well, so check that out. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. Chase and Big Joe coming up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.